Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kHz. We are also streaming online via rae.com.ar. Actually, not streaming, that is not the right word. We are uploading our shows to our website, and you can listen to them as podcasts, because our streaming continues to relay via rae.com.ar the signal of AM 870 LRA 1 Radio Nacional Buenos Aires, since authorities of public media here in Argentina decided to keep personnel to the minimum. And that's why here at RAE we've been working from home, and having been broadcasting from the central studios of RAE on Maipú Street, only the AM station is operating from there. And that's why the streaming via rae.com.ar is relaying the AM signal, which is fully in Spanish. But we are still going on the air on the shortwaves of WRMI and on internet via podcast that we upload to our website. And also, you can find RAE's content on our YouTube channel that you look up on YouTube as RAE Argentina. Content originally produced by us in 8 languages. I am Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you this weekly edition of the English language program that we have been calling the lockdown edition of RAE program in English, since usually up until the pandemic this was a Mondays through Fridays show, but since the beginning of the sanitary crisis and this remote mode that we are using to produce, we've been doing a weekly program that is airing on Fridays. On today's program, we'll be going the latest developments regarding the pandemic here in Argentina and the measures announced by the government, as well as other news stories of the week. We'll provide a summary of these news stories. We'll listen to some music, and we'll have a talk with a British journalist, a British sports journalist who lives here in Argentina, about the phenomenon of Marcelo Bielsa, the Argentine coach of Leeds in England, that succeeded in having this team promoted for the first time in over 15 years. If you want to get in touch with us, remember that the best way is to use email, qslrae@gmail.com. That's how you can contact us. That's the channel you should use if you want to send us a message, and also if you want to send us a reception report. We are replying reception reports with a digital QSL card. So, well, if you feel like writing us, use email. qslrae@gmail.com is what you should use to get in touch with us. Well, let's go over the main announcements made by the president, Alberto Fernández of Argentina, this Friday, July 31st. As expected, an extension of the quarantine was announced. The latest phase of the quarantine, this situation that mainly affects Buenos Aires, but not only, was going to end this Friday. It had been implemented in mid-July through July 31st. And as expected, the president announced this is extended until August 16, but we know it's going to be renewed then. And why is that? Well, because Argentina is going through up until this moment, the worst moment of the pandemic, even though we enter into quarantine mode back in March. But now we seem to be approaching the dreaded peak of the pandemic. This past week, we had a new record with 6,300 plus new cases confirmed in a single day. And there was also a worse record in the number of deaths, over 150 in 24 hours. Argentina never had those numbers up until now. Most of this is happening in the Buenos Aires area, the AMBA, A-M-B-A, the metropolitan area of Buenos Aires, which includes the capital city, BA, with 3 million inhabitants, and the suburbia, the suburban area that we call the Greater Buenos Aires, which belongs to the province of Buenos Aires, with over 9 million people. In total, 12 million people living in the metropolitan area is the most densely populated area in the country. About a third of Argentina's population is here, and it makes it the obvious point for a virus to spread rapidly. But over the past months, there's been a growth in the number of cases in the rest of the country. There are no provinces now without without cases, and all provinces are reporting new infections every day. This is because, well, Buenos Aires is also the main commercial hub of the country, and most logistics is done by trucks. And, well, truck drivers moving around the country seem to be the main agent spreading the virus in other parts, even though many regions across the nation have very strict controls, but they can't last forever. And every now and then somebody who caught the virus slips through those controls. And that's something that President Alberto Fernandez on a press conference pointed out today, giving the example of several provinces, and stressing also that it's not only people coming from Buenos Aires or coming and going between Buenos Aires and the rest of the country the main reason for a surge in cases outside BA, but also people lowering their guard after so many weeks of social distancing. Many provinces, because of the low number of cases, were allowed to ease down restrictions, and people moved from social isolation to social distancing, and most activities were allowed to resume. But these relaxation, that's a word the president used, enabled for the virus to spread, and now the number of cases in most of the provinces that had relaxed restrictions has gone up. And President Fernandez gave the example of the provinces of Mendoza, Córdoba, and Santa Fe that had very few cases or few cases while they kept strict isolation rules in place, lockdown measures in place. But when they eased down those measures, the numbers began to hike. The president said, however, that Buenos Aires remains the most concerning, and that's the word he used. He was concerned about these numbers. These numbers are worrying, are concerning. They prove that we are far from defeating this virus. And he said that in Buenos Aires now we've got an average of 5 infections per block in the city. Buenos Aires remains the area with the highest fatality rate, almost 400 deaths per million inhabitants. The president was accompanied in the press conference by the top authorities of Buenos Aires City and Buenos Aires province, the mayor, Horacio Rodríguez Larreta, and the governor, Axel Kicillof. they explained that they are going to maintain the measures as they are now, meaning that many activities that were resumed to reopen, for example, hairdressers, will remain open following strict sanitary protocols, but no further relaxation will be carried out until numbers get under control. Mayor Larreta said that we've got an average in the capital of over 1,000 new cases per day. The number is stable, but still very high nonetheless. And here are other stories of the week on Rai Argentina to the World. Big foreign creditors warn again about their ability to block Argentina's debt plan. In a public letter, they rejected the official offer of paying 53.4 on every $100 owed and demanded 56.5. On the contrary, the acceptance by small creditors is above 92%, sources said. The deadline of August 4 may be extended until August 28, while President Fernandez reiterated that no Argentine will be neglected by the state because of this debt. The president launched a judicial reform. The plan, Alberto Fernandez said, aims at increasing the judicial branch's independence from the executive while creating more federal courts across the country, among other goals. Heavy snows in Patagonia, farmers warn about livestock's mass death. There are blocked roads across the region and authorities have declared a cattle farming emergency mainly because of sheep that are dying in large numbers. A 43-year nurse dies in Mar del Plata one day after being discharged for COVID-19. Maria Mariangeli had caught the virus in the hospital she works in and had to spend a week in intensive care. After testing negative, she was discharged on Monday but had to be readmitted for sudden respiratory complications that medical sources are saying were not related to coronavirus. Foreign media highlighted Argentine research on equine or horse serum to treat COVID-19. Reuters, The New York Times, The Guardian, other outlets around the world informed about the project of company Immunova and the University of San Martin in Argentina, which received official approval for beginning trials this week. Unions are threatening to launch a strike in Bolivia from next Monday against the postponement of elections. The vote was slated originally for May the 3rd, but was rescheduled for September 18 because of the pandemic. As the health crisis deteriorates further in the Andean nation, the de facto government of Jeanine Áñez is planning to postpone it again. But the COP unions say they are trying to prevent the candidate they support, Luis Arce, from winning. Top U.S. Western Hemisphere official in Washington praised Argentina for stance on Venezuela. Elliot Abrams celebrated the endorsement of the UN report on the human rights situation in the South American nation, saying he wasn't surprised because Argentina is a democracy. The Fernandez administration has, however, clarified it doesn't recognize opposition leader Juan Guaido as president of Venezuela and rejects any kind of foreign intervention in Venezuela. Brazil reopens borders as cases continue to surge. The South American country is trying to revive its tourism industry, freeing entry for those arriving by plane, as deaths are near 100,000, with almost 70,000 new infections per day. And these were the news on Rai Argentina to the World. Okay, folks, we're going to talk now about a man, a football coach, who's kind of a legend already, and he's made headlines again over this past few weeks because he conquered the hearts of another country after Chile, after France, now England. I'm talking about Marcelo Bielsa, the madman, el loco, as he's dubbed. And to talk about Bielsa, I've got down the line Tim Sturridge, a British sports journalist who's based here in Argentina, who's also a very good friend of mine. Hello, Tim. How's it going?
Hello, Fer. Very well, very well. Great to be talking.
Excellent. Well, does this man need an introduction anymore?
Certainly not in Leeds or the county of Yorkshire, or certainly within English football. He's really, you know, captured the hearts of the fans of Leeds United, a team that are among the big names of English football, but had fallen on hard times, had been outside the Premier League for 16 years, even dropped to the third division of English football for a little spell, but it has taken Marcelo Bielsa in this strangest, longest of all seasons to finally get them to get their act together, and they've won the championship, the second tier of English football, and they will be taking their place back in the Premier League when that commences in September this year.
Well, certainly the man is now a hero. He even got a street named after him over there in Leeds.
Yes, because all through Bielsa's managerial career, there's been this sense of, you know, a romantic failure in a way. I mean, I think of the way he's worked with Newell's Old Boys and reaching the final of the Copa Libertadores but not being able to touch the trophy, and with Bilbao going head-to-head with Real Madrid and Barcelona, reaching finals of the Copa del Rey, of the Europa League, but then again not touching the trophy. Of course, he has had his successes. But then last season with Leeds, they got so close to promotion and then it fell away. And now he's got the job done. And of course, he's got the acclaim of the people. He's been described as a cuddly grandpa, where he lives in a small town outside Leeds called Wetherby, which is very close to the training ground. He walks to the training ground. He'll take a selfie with whoever is around to come up and say hello to him. His press conference after winning the title, the list of names that he reeled off and he thanked, and you know, the bus driver, the person who cleans the uniform, the kit man, and it wasn't done like an Oscar acceptance speech where they just rattle off a bunch of names. There was real feeling and real emotion, and it was just really lovely to see, and you know, something that just brings him that so close to the fans that they appreciate, and they're just with him. 200% behind him.
He's always mentioned as a man who's focused not only on winning. In fact, he has missed several opportunities of lifting trophies, and in many cases, some of his successors claimed the glory after he laid the ground. The case in point is the Chile national team, for example. But he's always mentioned and described as a man who's also focused on the how you win, not just the winning per se.
Certainly. Never compromising the style that he wants his teams to play in. And that's been evident. And as you say, that with Leeds, with the current example of coming so close last season, there was speculation for this campaign that's just been, will he change this around? Will he do this a little bit different? And then anybody close to him was saying, no, if you're thinking that, you don't know the man, because everything will be exactly the same last season, but with the effort to improve within his existing ideology of football. He's not going to you know, suddenly ask the goalkeeper to kick it the whole length of the field to a centre forward. He's going to keep moving. He's going to keep putting pressure on the opposition, and he's going to win. And he's, well, he's going to win or he's not going to win, but however he does it is going to be done his way. And I think when he first arrived at Leeds United, there would be, you know, it wouldn't be so common in the second division of English football for defenders to be passing it between themselves, looking for the space, a kind of patient approach. And the crowd would get very nervous because they would see defenders on the ball with the ball close to their own goal. And they might be urging the players to get rid of the ball, get it off the pitch quickly. But the players, listening to the coach Bielsa, learn to, you know, take more time on the ball, choose their opportunities carefully, and have more confidence in themselves as footballers. And yeah, I think that's another great Bielsa trait of how he, you know, works with the players that he's got. He doesn't necessarily need millions to spend in the transfer market. Is very involved in the true sense of being a coach,
yeah,
taking the players he has and improving them.
From the talks I had with journalists and football fans in general, it seems that the overwhelming majority, not to say unanimously, he's adored by every single player he's coached.
Certainly. I would say, of course, you know, England is a country that's obsessed with football, so there would have been knowledge of Bielsa from his great Chilean side of the 2010 World Cup and his work with Bilbao and Marseille and other clubs. But he got his real introduction in England when taking the Leeds job. At that time, Tottenham Hotspur were managed by Mauricio Pochettino, a former player of his at Newell's Old Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, at that moment, Pochettino was seen as the coach in England, the bright young thing.
Yeah.
So he was asked in a press conference, Leeds have appointed Marcelo Bielsa as their coach. This could be a bit risky, no? He has the reputation as El Loco. And Pochettino immediately spoke, Bielsa is my father in football.
Wow.
You know, he gave me so much when I played in that team in Newell's Old Boys. You'll see how many of us have gone on to management careers as coaches. Because when you play with Marcelo Bielsa, it is an education. He would give us all as a team videotapes to take home at night, documents to read, and we were able to grow as people, as footballers. And again, it's that sense that ideology behind it, as you've mentioned, okay, let's go out to win the game, but if we don't win, let's at least play our game and meet our own standards and achieve what we want to achieve. And then with Pochettino, of course, at that time as well, Pep Guardiola at Manchester City, who came up against Bielsa during his time as Barcelona manager when Bielsa was at Bilbao. And Guardiola saying before he took the Barcelona job, he took a trip to Argentina.
Yeah.
He spoke with Marcelo Bielsa. And, you know, before, if we say, you know, the reputation that Pochettino has, that Guardiola has, for these people, it's almost like, you know, like listening to John Lennon and Keith Richards talk about, oh, you should go and listen to Chuck Berry or Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People love these guys, but now they're telling you that, no, this is the guy that
we've
taken our influence from.
Well, let us assume, Tim, for a moment that, well, not assume, I know for a fact that we've got listeners in countries which are not as obsessed with football as England and Argentina, and they may be thinking now, well, if you have this amazing guy, this amazing leader, how come you are not using him in Argentina? Why can we tell those listeners? What can we tell those listeners?
Of the World Cup campaign of 2002, where Bielsa led the national selection of Argentina. He had his time in charge of the Argentine national team off the back of such success with Newell's and being such a personality and character within the Argentine game. And unfortunately, that campaign in 2002, Japan and South Korea, where the World Cup was held, didn't go so well for Bielsa or Argentina. They didn't make it out of the group stage, which I'm not sure that's happened previously or since.
No, for several decades.
Yeah, so that, and there was a defeat to England within that. I think we're also in the group with Sweden
and Nigeria. Yeah.
But what, even with that big failure on the world stage, I thought it was interesting that Bielsa still managed to retain the job.
Yeah.
You think, you know, with this big failure, the guy must be sacked immediately. But clearly, there was still belief, whether it came from his players talking to the football authorities or the football administrators in Argentina, still keeping faith because they, you know, they work with this guy and they know that he could get it right. So even 2 years after that, he's still in the job, and Argentina win Olympic gold
for the first time ever.
For the first time, and okay, the Olympic football tournament maybe not be on a level as a World Cup or even the Copa America, but they're still, they stuck with him and they got their awards. And also, I think because with Olympic football, you're forced to use a lot of young players under 23, then the careers that some of those guys have gone on to have that played with him in that team, the Kili Gonzalez, Carlos Tevez, so many big names that would have, you know, years and years playing for top European teams in the Champions League. And as we said previously, players working with him and, you know, being inspired, adopting a work ethic, that hunger to improve and inspiring some great careers from working with the man. So it wouldn't have gone so well with Argentina. Of course, the Chilean football authority saw enough in him to offer him the national job with them, and that really has been the revolution of Chilean football.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I doubt that Bielsa ever has to pay for a meal if he goes out in Santiago.
I totally agree. Totally agree with that. Well, team, thank you very much for this.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to talk with you, my great friend, to be able to talk about a great guy such as Marcelo Bielsa and to have football to talk about. That's just great for me. Thank you.
That was Tim Sturridge, a British sports journalist based here in Argentina, on Rai Argentina to the World, talking about El Loco, the madman Marcelo Bielsa, the coach of Leeds in England. And with that, we're coming to the end of this edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. Thank you for listening. I'm Fernando Farias, and I'm going to leave you with a track of Andean music by Grupo Chalas, Guaira, on the beginning of Pachamama Day, Pachamama Month, the deity of Andean peoples that is honored every month of August to thank her for nurturing us. Thank you for listening. Hasta la próxima.